Morning, everybody. It's good to be back with you. I am glad that he walks with us each and every day. Are you not? Praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. He's with us. You know, the verse of scripture in the teaching this morning, and at Tim was teaching on there, it says, the scripture says, I know the thoughts I have for you. Now, you put that in the context of what those people were going through. You put that in that context. And he's telling them, I know the thoughts I have for you. I know that you have the end that I got for you. You know what? He was telling them, you know what? It may look bleak right now, but he said, you know what? I've got your spiritual well-being in mind. I got your wholesomeness in mind. And that's what he was telling them. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. He still has that for each and every one of us. I don't know what you're going through here. I don't know where your end may be. But I'm telling you, he has your spiritual well-being in mind. And he loves you because of that. And he has those thoughts for you. I'm thankful for that. Now, I'm going to be over in 1 Samuel this morning, the 10th chapter, if you want to turn over there for a minute. Let me lay this out a little bit before I get there. Last week I preached about a ghost. This week I'm going to preach about goats. I can't get off the G's. I don't know what it is, but God. But anyway, I was down to the fair the other day. And, of course, Thursday we took Ben down there. And so we walked through. I like walking through and seeing the animals. So we walked through where the goats are at down there, you know, and I thought, I seen them, and we go through, and they're so cute and all this stuff, you know. Ben wanted to pet one of them, he did. But I think of a story of some friends of ours we went to church with here a number of years back, and him and his wife, they decided they wanted to get some goats, and they had a little farm, so they got some goats. Well, and not knowing one of them was Satan in disguise. But anyway, this one goat they tried to keep in, and of course, the goat kept getting out, no matter what they did. Got in her garden, got in her flowers, and what straw broke the camel's back, Greg, he got up one morning, and it was standing on top of the roof of his wife's car. Well, did a number on the paint job. Anyway, the goat wasn't long for that household. But the Lord had just kept impressing upon me about goats this week. So I said, Lord, what is this about? You know? So he directed me to this scripture right here. And I'm going to be in 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. I'll read it here in a little bit. And if the Lord will allow me this morning, I want to preach on this scripture. And I want to preach a sermon from it. And that if we can grasp it, if we can, he's kind of explaining, if we can just grab a hold of it, it can set us free. It really can. If we just get a hold of it. There are times, and I will admit to this, we as preachers at times can complicate the gospel. You ever believe, I believe that, and I believe we can do that, thinking we need to have some deep revelation of something and some deep new insight, when the truth is, and you know, you think about it, it's right here. Do we really understand? And I'm going to lay this out here. Do you really understand what it means to be saved and set free? You know what? When you're saved, I want you to understand this. You are set free. Set free. You're not under bondage no more. But sometimes we complicate this thing. But can we truly grasp scripture like John 8:36? If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That is right there. That should say it all, right? Well, you know, because I feel the number one weapon that the enemy uses against me and you is condemnation and guilt. Sometimes he uses that against us. And I don't know about you, but I don't know about you, but this preacher's dealt with it here. I've dealt with it in my past. I've dealt with it to this present day, sometimes by condemnation and guilt. Because I believe there's nothing more the enemy would love to do to each and every one of us in here this morning is to constantly keep us feeling like you're unworthy. Can I lay it out to you this morning just as plain as I can? You are worthy. You are worthy, not in your own self, but Jesus made you worthy. He's the one that makes you worthy. It's not me. It's not anybody in this church. It's not the spouse sitting beside of you. It is Jesus Christ. He makes us worthy. Listen, so this story I'm going to share with you this morning is very important. And as I read it, As I read the verse of Scripture here in a minute, the story in chapter 10, we find everything Samuel told him to do was to be confirmed, to confirm Saul as the king. We know that, everything. He had been anointed, he'd been appointed, and so he's supposed to be the first king of the nation of Israel, right? Everything from the anointing of the oil by Samuel, found in this chapter, to where Samuel told him he would meet two men who would confirm that the donkey that he was looking for. Now, I'm just brushing over everything here. You can go back out and read it all. And I believe we had a teaching on here a few years back about it as well. Greg did it. But everything he said. He also would encounter three men. And that brings me to this morning's scripture. And if you would, I'd like to read 1 Samuel 10:3. If you would stand this morning and let's read that, 1 Samuel 10:3. And this is where the goats come in. Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, that's three goats, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for what you give us, Lord, for how you do and would come to us, Lord, and Father, how you've opened up our minds. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would open up our lips this morning, Lord. I pray for the anointing. I pray for the Father, that you'd be on each and every heart here this morning, Lord, and that you would open them up as well. And Lord, we will do nothing but give you the praise because you are the one that so rightly deserves it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So we find this one man carrying three goats, another man carrying a bottle of wine, and another man carrying three loaves of bread. And we find that. And even though this was to confirm an earthly king, I believe it has so much more of a deeper thought that goes on here than what it also represents the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you want to look at it, everything from the time God told Satan in Genesis 3:15, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel, was done for two things. Was to preserve the nation of Israel, and also was to preserve a bloodline to where Jesus would come through. Everything. If you read that Bible, if you understand it in that context, from the time of Genesis until the time of Revelation, I've heard preachers say this in the past, there is a scarlet thread that runs clear through it. And that scarlet thread is Jesus Christ. It goes to the blood of Jesus. And this morning, this scripture is no different. You see, all three men were headed to the house of the Lord. That's what Bethel means. That was not only a city, but it was a place of worship. That's what it meant. And these three men are going up to go to God to Bethel. And one of them had a bottle of wine. And we know the wine represents, you know, what it represented. In Matthew, Jesus said it represented his blood. It said, and he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to him, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood for the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. And it showed the second man, he said he was carrying three loaves of bread. And what did Jesus say the bread represented it? It said it represented his body. That's what it said. It said while they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, take, eat, this is my body. But the scripture also goes on and gives us one more man. And that's what I really want to hit on this morning. He was carrying three goats. Three goats to church is what he was carrying them. And as you look at the Bible, I want you to understand something about goats. They're always an example of sin in the Old Testament. That's what they were an example of. In Matthew 25, Jesus said this. He said a parable about sheep and the goats and how he separated the righteous from the unrighteous. And he put the sheep on his right side and the goats on his left side. In Matthew, he said, then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then in Matthew 25:41, he said, then shall ye also unto them that on the left hand depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. They also used the goats as a scapegoat. And I'll get into that later, but that's where the priest would lay his hand on the goat, and he would pray that all the sins of the people and all the sins of the nation would be upon that goat. Then what would he do with it? He would take it out into the wilderness and let it loose. That's what a scapegoat was about. But I'll get into that more. It's more symbolic of the place the sin of all the Israelites on it. Thus transferring all the sin of the people onto that goat. So I believe these three goats this man was carrying speak of guilt and condemnation is what I think they speak of. And I believe this man was carrying those three goats there to talk about that. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And listen to me. Now I want to look at three examples of how goats were used and how goats were used as an example of sin. And I want to talk about the first three times they were used in the Bible. And I believe that the first three mentions of goats is this way. Look at the story of Esau and Jacob. If you look at that story there and how the Jacob and his mother worked together to steal the birthright of Esau. We know the story. Isaac was old and blind, so Rebekah, the mother of both Esau and Jacob, devised a plan where Jacob would pretend to be Esau, and that's what he did. Isaac wanted Esau to go and kill some venison and make a soup with it. Well, anyway, whenever he went out to do that, because he was the firstborn, he was rightfully to get the birthright. So whenever he went out to do that, what happened? Rebekah made Jacob go out and kill a goat. She made him kill a goat, and he took the meat from that goat, and she made the soup, and then he took it into him. But what did he do before that? He took the skin of that goat, and he put it upon himself, and he went in, and he deceived him. He deceived him, and he got the birthright. He put it on his hands, his back of his neck, and his head, and he did it. So Jacob went into Isaac, and he knew and deceived him. And you know what it says? The smell of that goat fur deceived Isaac. So the first goat I want to talk about this morning, and I want to talk about the goat of deception. And I want you to understand something this morning, and I hope you, folks, when we get involved in deceptions and lies, there is an aroma that is unmistakable upon your life. You can deceive a lot of things, but you will not deceive God. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'll be honest with you, there are some scriptures that send chills down my spine. There really are. And because of how deception can send someone to an eternity in hell. Matthew 7:21 is one of the scriptures. When Jesus said these words, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." I don't know about anybody in this church, but that sends chills down my spine whenever I read that. Now, you know what? I know that I'm saved. And I know that I'm going to heaven. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know something. There are people that can deceive themselves. There are people that are sitting here that are carrying the goat of deception with them. Some of them may be in churches this morning. I do not know. I don't know your heart. I don't judge. But I'm here to tell you this morning, whenever Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord," he wasn't talking about somebody out here in the world. He was talking about someone sitting in and knowing exactly what he was talking about. And Galatians 6:3 is another one. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing," he said, what's he do? "He deceiveth himself." I beg you, every one of you here this morning, and I don't know why I'm preaching this, but I beg you to look at yourself. Don't look at me. Don't look at the person beside of you. Because I'm here to tell you, you know if you're saved here this morning. There's no doubt. Can I tell you again? It is a no-so salvation. It is a no-so salvation. And you know, or how about 1 John 1:8 tells us, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us." I can tell you this morning, and I know this without a shadow of a doubt, everybody that was born of a woman here this morning was born into sin. And the only cure for sin is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only cure. James 1:22 says this, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Listen, we can sit in a church service, or you can sit somewhere and listen to God's word and hear it all that you want. But if you do not take it to heart and do not do it, you are deceiving yourself. Many folks carry that goat to church every week. Amen. They carry it. The Bible tells us, we know that if we're saved, there would be no deception in our lives. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. 1 John 3:2 says this: Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear that we shall be. But listen to what it says. But we know that. Listen, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know what it says? We know. I'll give you another scripture. 1 John 3:14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. It says, we know. Amen? As simple as that, we know. In 1 John 3:24, and he that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. In 2 Timothy 1:12, listen, I'm telling you, this is a no-so salvation. For this which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Listen to me. When I got saved, I knew in whom I believed. There was no doubt in this old boy's life. I knew it. Whenever the Holy Spirit come into me and I got up off of my knees, I'm telling you, Greg, I knew it. I didn't have to go into Preacher McLean and ask him if I got saved. I didn't have to. I got up and I knew it. Because behold, all things become new. We know it. I can tell you right now, you are sitting here this morning, you know if you are saved or not. And let me ask you something. Do not go out of this church this morning being deceived by Satan, thinking, you know what? Well, I've got another week, I've got another day, I've got another hour. No man knoweth the time when the Lord's going to call you home. No man does. Now, another goat that I looked at whenever I was going back through the Old Testament, coming up to the Scripture. The second mention of the goat in the Bible is found in Genesis 37. And that goat is the goat of jealousy. And we all know the story of Joseph and how that his brothers, you know what they did? They caused him to, the jealousy caused them to sell him into slavery. Joseph's brothers saw that he had a coat that his dad had made him. It's called a coat of many colors, by the way. Jacob had made for him. And they became jealous, and they ripped it off of him and threw him in a pit. And the scriptures tell us, you know what? They said that they took the coat, and what did they do? They slaughtered a goat. And they dipped the blood of that goat on that coat. That's what they did. And they took it back to Jacob, and they told him, listen, an animal had killed him and ate him. And it wasn't, you know, folks, you can take the goat of jealousy. And I'm going to be blowing. You can take it to the house of God and try to worship, and it will affect every part of your life. Proverbs 14:30 says this: A sound heart is like the flesh, but envy or jealousy, the rottenness of the bones. Another translation of that says that jealousy is like a cancer of the bones. That's what it's like. James 3:16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When you carry jealousy, if you carry the goat of jealousy, it will affect your prayer life. It will affect your Bible reading. It will affect your testimony. We can go right on and on and on down the line. I'm telling you, if you carry that with you, jealousy will affect you. You know, Galatians 5 lists the works of the flesh. Jealousy is one of them. That's the works of the flesh. Folks, it's hard to get a blessing. It's hard to get a blessing when you're consumed with jealousy in your life. It's hard to, because jealousy just does nothing but destroy. It can destroy relationships. It can destroy marriages. And it can destroy churches. I'm here to tell you, I have seen jealousy in churches destroy churches. It has, because somebody doesn't want somebody to have this job. Somebody doesn't want somebody. You know, praise God, I hope and pray that, you know what, when somebody stands up here to sing and the Spirit of God comes over them and they're singing, that we want to say, Lord, bless them to no end. I hope we say that. I hope when somebody's standing up here teaching or when somebody's up here preaching that we don't get jealous of what they're doing, but say, Lord, bless them to no end, because I'm telling you, jealousy will destroy. Listen, he was sold into slavery. He was sold because his brothers got jealous of what was going on in his life. I'm here to tell you this morning, do not let jealousy, do not let it destroy you. I've seen jealousy destroy marriages over stuff that had immature that you wouldn't even believe, but I've seen it destroy marriages. But I'm here this morning to tell you there is a cure for all this. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Now, the third goat I want to talk about is found in Genesis 38, and it's a goat of immorality. We know the story. If you go over there, and I'm just giving you a real quick synopsis of chapter 38, Genesis. It's the story of Judah. If you go over there and read it, we find that he had lost his wife. He had moved to a foreign country and is living amongst the Canaanites, is what it says, is where he's at. And he fell into temptation. And he slept with what he thought was a prostitute. Well, he comes to find out it was his daughter-in-law. That's what he comes to find out. And when he went to ask her for her price, you know what the price was? It was a goat. That's what the price was. He said, I'll give you a goat. And that's what the price of immorality cost him. That's what it cost him. And it ended up, we know the rest of the story. She also got his staff and something else. And when it come time, he was going to have her killed. Because he thought she had done something immorality had set an end on her life. Here to come find out, it was him. It was him. And she gave him that staff, and that, I believe it was a cord. But anyway, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, listen to me. Immorality, when you give yourself over to that, it stays with you. Jesus said in Mark 7, 20 and 23, and he said, that which cometh out of a man that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a man. The goat of immorality will stick with you. I thought about this, and I looked it up. You think about things like pornography. A psychologist said you will tell you there is a thing called deep imprinting of the mind, which locks images into your mind long term. And pornography is one of them that will do that. A Barner, and you think that's just a problem in the world? Barner Research did a poll. 61% of practicing Christians, and I don't know about that, but they said went to church, let's just put it that way, or into pornography, or know something had been affected by pornography and know someone that's into it. 61%. I'm here to tell you the goat of immorality will leave a stench, will leave it on people. But praise God, that goat doesn't have to define you. I'm here this morning, Philippians 3:13, behold, I count not myself to have apprehended this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. And Romans 12:2 said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Listen, those things can be deeply embedded in your mind and in your psyche, but I'm telling you, we serve a God that can renew your mind and your psyche. He can do that. And I'm telling you, you don't need to carry that goat around. You don't need to do that. You can give it to God. Listen, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what's it say to do? Think on those things. Listen, I say this quite often, junk in, junk out. You put good things in, good things are going to come out. Good things will come out. Folks, I've talked about those three goats this morning. There's so much more. And you may be carrying one of those with you here this morning. I don't know. I don't know your hearts. We don't have to carry any of them in here this church this morning. We don't have to. We can carry. We can leave. Why? Because Jesus is the ultimate scapegoat. That's why. My Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Like that priest put on that goat and sent it out into the wilderness, God put him on the cross and laid your sins and my sins upon him. You know why? Like I said before, we deserve to die on that cross. He did it for us. He did that for us. He is the ultimate scapegoat here this morning. Revelation 13:8 tells us, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Can I tell you something? In the Old Testament, it talked about goats, goats, and goats. When you get over into John, 1 John, I think it's about the 28th verse, John the Baptist was in the river baptizing. You know what he said? He looked up and he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. It was goats, goats, goats. But when we get up in the New Testament, it's all about the Lamb. Amen? Hey, you know something I thought about when I was studying this? Do you know that over there, whenever the shepherds took the sheep and the goats out, that they would have them in the pasture together? But at night, they separated them. They would separate them at night because the one of them had the wool one, which could stay warm by themselves, but the goats had to congregate together. That's what would happen. I'm here to tell you, brother, you don't have to congregate with the goats no more. You don't have to do that. Praise God. He sent his son to die upon a cross that you and I don't have to take up those goats and take them back with us anymore. Amen? God is not for us to carry around that stuff the rest of our life. Proverbs 5:22 says, his own iniquities shall the wicked himself, and he shall be holding the cords of sin. But praise God, Jesus again said in 8:36, if the Son therefore set you free, you are free indeed this morning. Folks, all you read about, all we've read about this morning is about how the people drug around stuff. They said those three men were carrying those goats. That one man was carrying that goat, those three goats, up to the temple, up to worship. I'm telling you, you don't have to do that here this morning. Amen? You can leave them right here at this altar. I don't know where you're at this morning. We'll get a song. Blend, if you don't care, let's get a song here this morning. Amen. If you have a need this morning, if they get a song ready, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. What the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do, the blood of the Lamb can this morning. It can do that for you. You can trade those goats for the blood of the Lamb this morning. Amen.